Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of It's a Definite Maybe, a podcast for those of you who are just trying to figure it all out, with your favourite co-hosts, as always, Stella and Rosie. On today's episode, we're talking all about jealousy. We'll go through our journeys with jealousy, where it comes from, and how to manage it. So, one of the things that I have been exploring on my personal growth journey in therapy is jealousy. Ooh. It's something that I have encountered in the past, I guess, and it's not necessarily a trait about myself that I particularly like. And it's one of those things where it just makes me feel bad. And why would I want to continue doing something that makes me feel bad?
Preach.
It doesn't serve me in any way to be jealous.
And it doesn't serve the other person as well.
No.
It's just bad for everyone involved. It's like, why are we here?
Exactly. So it's definitely something that I've been more consciously aware of and digging into what some of my key triggers are, where that comes from, and how to manage it moving forward. And so considering I've found it kind of difficult to do that at times, I thought it might be a fun, well, not so much fun.
Helpful?
Fun topic. Helpful topic. Yeah, helpful let's topic. Go with helpful. Helpful topic for some people out there who do also tend to get a little bit jealous at times and may want a little bit of advice, I guess, on how to do it. Or even just to know that you're not alone and, I don't know, ask some questions so that you can start working through it as well.
Well, I think the first thing I want to do is almost normalize it in a sense. Like, I used to find so much shame in admitting I was a jealous person. Mm. And then I realized when I went through with my therapist as well that it was not something to be fully ashamed of, but more something to be aware of to then want to better yourself and improve on it, I guess. But it's not necessarily an uncommon thing. I feel like jealousy is quite human and quite normal.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Not obviously the healthiest emotion to feel and not something I don't think many of us enjoy feeling or being on the receiving end of because it can be quite toxic and bitter, but I think it's just normal. So let's just start with that. We're removing the taboo. We're removing the shame. Why is removing such a hard word for me to say right now?
Removing.
Fuck. I really struggle with that. And I feel like mine stems from a sense of lack of control. I've realized when I have, now that I'm in a much better place and in a very healthy relationship, my jealousy is very much finally died down. But I think about all the times I have been jealous and mine stemmed from being cheated on in my first relationship. And then I realized that every relationship after that until my current one, even into my current relationship, it always seemed to be anxiety around when they would go out and I wasn't invited. Mm. And this fear of lack of control that I'd be cheated on, but then also the jealousy of like, well, what if another woman like hits on you? Mm. Or like, oh, well, you're not home to spend time with me. And it was this not having control over it, I guess, which took so long to get through. And something I'm still working on because it's a work in progress.
Well, it is one of those things where I would love to do an episode in the future on attachment theory and the different attachment styles that there are, because that's also something that I have explored during my therapy journey. And I find it so fascinating and it helps me to understand myself a lot better and also other people and certain past relationship patterns and behaviors that I have experienced and that a lot of other people experience as well. So I'm sure we'll do a future episode on that because
totally,
you know, meaty stuff in there. And funnily enough, I don't think a lot of people know that much about attachment theory. I've had conversations with people and asked them, oh, do you know about the different attachment styles? And they're like, what?
I feel like it's interesting. The only one I know of is the anxious attachment style.
Yeah,
there's
anxious, avoidant, disorganized, and secure.
I feel like I'm not secure, but that's fine.
Yeah. Well, there's people, without going too much into it, because we will do another episode on this, there's people who have kind of multiple attachment styles, I guess, or they're like a mix of things. So it's like disorganized, anxious, you know, blah, 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 blah. The ideal is obviously to have a secure attachment style, but you kind of go through different periods of your life where you might have a secure attachment style, and then in times of great stress and burnout and whatever, that's when you kind of default back to your default attachment style, which tends to be one of the others. So anxious, avoidant, or disorganized, or a combination of those. So anyway, I digress. I think for me, where my triggers tend to come from, like you, is a need to control as well, or feeling a lack of control in a particular situation. I think for me, there's also a fear of abandonment to an extent. And it does also come back to a feeling of insecurity stemming from comparison culture. I have always been one of those people where I compare myself to others, and I've had relationships in the past where my partner has compared me to others and not great. Not good. Dealing with the wounds from
the trauma
from all of that.
That's cool.
Still working through all of it, but hate, you know, it's a process. We're getting there. Made me who I am today.
Go queen.
But I think the comparison mindset is definitely something that does tend to bring in jealousy a lot of the time, and that tends to be a really big trigger for a lot of people, because it's this feeling of I'm not good enough, or I'm not enough for that person. And when it comes to cheating, for example, it's I'm not enough for this person. They're going to see that I'm not enough, or they think find that I'm not enough better. And they're going to find something better than me.
Totally.
And so something that has been really interesting to explore is this sense of not better, but different. And it's really tricky to remind yourself of that. But there are certain times where, well, you know, there's the old analogy where people, say, it's a saying, I guess.
Yeah.
It's late. My brain's going. Anyway, it's a saying that people say that the stars are beautiful and the flowers are beautiful. They're both beautiful, but they're different. You wouldn't say that the stars are more beautiful than the flowers, because they're beautiful for different reasons.
They're beautiful in different ways. So you could acknowledge
that they're both beautiful. Also, some people prefer looking at the stars to looking at flowers.
Yeah.
And some people prefer looking at flowers, or looking at particular flowers, or, you know, there's so much preference and variation in things that it doesn't necessarily mean that you can directly compare one thing and another thing. And what people get out of certain relationships or certain interactions can be completely different. So it's not so much a question of better or worse, it's just different. And I think a lot of the time when people are in relationships and they do cheat, the reason why they cheat isn't because that person is better, it's because it's different.
It's different.
And that's not to say that that's all the time, because there are cases, I'm sure, where people do cheat and that person is better suited to them or is more in line with what they're after and what they would expect from a partner. But a lot of the time, it's due to it's different than what they're used to, and they get bored with what they're used to, so they seek something that's new and exhilarating and, you know, all of that sort of stuff. All of the new exciting feelings when you experience something that's fresh, as opposed to a relationship that, you know, is comfortable over time and has grown and evolved and isn't what it was at the start. But that doesn't mean that it's not good.
Cheating is not the answer, though. We're just going to flag that there.
Definitely not. We are not advocating for cheating here, but I can understand the thought process behind it in certain cases.
I totally get it, especially when you like this thrill of like it's forbidden, or you want something you can't have. It's that rush of like it being illegal. And illegal is so not the right word, but it is. But anyway, we don't condone cheating.
Taboo. It's taboo.
Well, it's like a little bit naughty and it's a little bit risque. Anyway, we don't like cheating.
No. Cheating is bad. We don't enjoy that. I think one of the things coming back to jealousy in particular rather than cheating, because we've done a whole episode on cheating.
We have.
If you haven't heard that, go back and listen to it. But coming back to the whole jealousy thing, I think a lot of the time insecurity in some sort of way is
1,000%
at the core of it.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you were secure in yourself and who you were as a person completely, 100% of the time, which let's just lay this out there, that's not necessarily realistic. Like, I'm sure it's there's really a lot of people who are sure of themselves, know who they are, like who they are, but everyone has their moments where they doubt themselves and are a little bit messy and not so put together and not feeling like their best, and then they kind of doubt themselves. So that happens to everyone. But particularly in those moments when you feel like you're not enough, that's when you can start to feel jealous, because there's, oh, well, that person is better than me, or they have more than me, and you focus more on the kind of lacking mindset rather than bringing it back to, I'm amazing and I have enough money for what I need and I have a good job and, you know, all of these sorts of things, like affirming all of the great things about yourself and developing that more secure attachment within yourself and,
yeah,
I guess, understanding and knowledge of who you are and acceptance of that as well, because that's a big thing. You can know who you are and not like it and not accept certain parts of yourself, but when you truly accept that you are a messy individual and you're not perfect and you're going to have your moments where you fuck up and things go wrong, but that's what makes you human and that's totally fine. It's like this massive weight that gets lifted off of your shoulders.
We love the growth.
We do. We do.
I feel like it's so interesting reflecting on my jealousy in a long-term relationship versus when I was single, because I feel like when I was single in my early 20s, I was obviously at a very different mental mindset than I am now, which played a big impact into it. But it was also this obsession with wanting someone that I guess didn't want me back or didn't see my value and wasn't giving me the validation that I wanted. So I feel like I would almost get even more controlling or more jealous or wanted even more desperately because they weren't showing me what I wanted. And instead of flirting with me, they would flirt with someone else. Or I'd manifest this unhealthy, toxic image in my head that was totally false of, oh my God, they're going to go home with another person. They're not going to go home with me. And it was just so miserable. And then even jealousy in a relationship, it wasn't healthy and it never is. But I felt at least, I guess, validated in the sense of like, oh yeah, well, they still come home to me. They're still dating me. Like, and look, I'm in a much healthier relationship. I've gone through a lot of therapy, a lot of hard conversations with my boyfriend to work on it and to work on myself. But it's just, it's interesting that you can feel the exact same feeling even if you're single or in a secure relationship or you're very happy single or very happily married, whatever situation you're in, that it's still kind of the same lingering, toxic unhappiness. And, oh my God, my life has never been better. Once I kind of got past that feeling of jealousy, and it wasn't like an overnight thing. It was like the way that I sort of worked through my jealousy was very much over a long period of time. It was, part of it was weirdly like forcing myself to go through situations that I realized were a trigger for me and realizing it was okay. It was coming up with certain conversations and phrases with my therapist that I would have with my partner of like signposting, hey, I'm really struggling, or something that he would say to help comfort me. And other things I would use is it reality or is it a story in my head? And like really just,
oh my God, yes, that's differentiating.
And that has been something that has stuck with me probably since my first therapy session, that my boyfriend would still be like, if I start spiraling,
thoughts aren't facts.
And I'm like, oh my God, blah, 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 you're going to cheat on me. It's like, we've been together for 3.5 years. He's not going to cheat on me. And he's like, it's a story in your head. And I was like, you're right, I'm being irrational. And it's little moments like that that I've retrained, I guess, these negative triggers into positive things, or something that really helped me, I guess, because my jealousy was very much like boyfriend was going out with the boys' night, they're going out drinking, and like that was a big trigger for me, like drinking and going out to clubs or going out late at night. And my therapist helped me retrain my brain to think, oh, well, instead of feeling this nervousness, anxiety, and jealousy, start thinking, of the positives, like, oh, I get to spend a night at home. I get to enjoy time to myself. I get to do what I want.
Yeah.
And start seeing it as a positive thing of like, hey, enjoy your night with your friends because I know you need that. I'm going to enjoy my own time instead of catastrophizing and thinking, what's going to happen? All of these irrational thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely. I think some key things that you touched on a bit and that I wanted to also mention as well when it comes to managing jealousy, I guess. For me, the key things that I have learned recently and I have been practicing are identifying what my triggers actually are.
It's very helpful once you know. So why am I feeling
jealous right now? What is that bringing up in me? And where does that come from? Just kind of getting curious about all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Learning how to self-soothe is a massive one as well. So you were talking about that just before with kind of reframing things and telling yourself that you're okay, talking yourself down a little bit as well. But also figuring out what your needs are that aren't being met and learning how to communicate those.
Communication.
So if it's so with a partner, then saying, I'm feeling triggered right now because of this particular situation.
Why. That's a big one.
I need this right now. If your partner is able to give that to you, great. But I think you do also need to learn how to meet your own needs so you don't have to rely on a partner all the time.
100%.
Because your partner may not always have the bandwidth to give you everything that you need. So you need to be able to be self-sufficient enough that you're able to calm yourself down, regulate your body, ground yourself, and bring yourself back into reality without needing to rely on a person to do that for you. Because at the end of the day, as horrible and cynical and awful as it may sound, you've only got yourself.
Amen.
You spend the most time with yourself than literally anybody else.
Literally.
So you need to make sure that you have your own back. So I've really very much been learning all of those sorts of things and getting curious and digging into them and learning different ways that I can soothe my jealousy and manage what that feels like for me to the point that it doesn't become an issue in my interactions with people. And I think it's one of those things as well where I've acknowledged in certain situations where there's something that the other person has done that I haven't responded well to. And what I can control is my reaction to that. Whereas I can't necessarily ask someone to not do that thing. But there are certain situations where someone has done the wrong thing. Like in a cheating situation, for example, totally fair enough if you feel jealous if your partner has cheated on you because that they've feels given you grounds to. Yeah. So in those kind of situations where it is someone else's behavior, then, you know, there is a way to communicate, hey, when you do this particular thing, this is how it makes me feel. This is how it impacts me. What can we do to work through this and ensure that doesn't happen again? You know, those sorts of things.
Yeah.
But there are going to be certain cases where jealousy is just something you need to ride out and you need to manage within yourself in terms of how you're responding to a particular situation. And it's not the other person's responsibility. It's yours. So you also need to take responsibility for yourself sometimes, even though that can be really fucking hard to do.
So uncomfortable. Sometimes,
and just work through it
yourself. Yeah. And I think the biggest moment where I had, I guess, like a light bulb moment in like my jealousy journey was when I actually started confronting those very uncomfortable moments instead of just lashing out and being like, I'm upset, I'm jealous, blah, blah. My partner would confront me and be like, but why are you jealous? What are you jealous of? And I'd be like, oh, well, I think this. He's like, no, articulate it. Tell me. And it's those moments of uncomfortableness and painfulness and vulnerability that helped me realize or communicate or find a way to sort of cope with it or get over it. Get over it's a very harsh term, but like move on from it and
process it.
Thank you. It's much better than get over it.
Get over it.
Get over
Suck
it.
Suck it up.
Oh my God. But yeah, and I think that like communication is easily the biggest thing. And also just realizing that it takes time. And I bring it back right to the way we started, is that it's, I feel like it's a very normal human emotion. It's ugly. It's toxic. No one likes admitting that they're a jealous person. But I think admitting it is like, what, the first stage? It's like 12 stages of grief, but like 12 stages of jealousy.
Yeah. I'm glad you touched on the whole leaning into discomfort thing, because that's definitely something in the past year since me and Pooley broke up that I have definitely been digging into a lot more.
It's hard.
Yeah, it's a really, really hard thing to do. But I think also when you've gone through such a massive change in your life as a breakup, for me, that was the catalyst to get more comfortable in those uncomfortable moments and
being
more comfortable feeling uncomfortable, because that's, like you said, that's where growth happens. That's where you find out what you're really made of and who you are, and you're kind of able to strip back the day-to-day stuff and get to the core of why you are the way you are, who you are, and know what you need to do to grow, because you're also able to admit to yourself, I don't like this particular part about myself, and I'm not going to beat myself
Let's change it. Let's grow.
I'm going to accept that that's a part of myself, but I want to heal that part of myself.
Yeah. I don't want to
live in this forever, because it's not serving me, it's not serving the people around me, so I want to grow in this particular area. But having compassion for yourself in those parts that you don't like, rather than just being like, oh my god, I suck, I'm the worst, I'm such a jealous person, I'm so negative and insecure, blah, blah, blah. We don't like that negative self-talk, but you do need to be realistic and admit flaws about yourself if you do want to be able to grow.
100%. And yet again, finishing the episode on another wise bomb. Not truth bomb, but the wise wisdom bomb.
Mic drop.
But don't actually, because these are expensive microphones.
And also, that wouldn't be very nice for you guys listening to hear an actual microphone drop.
Well, I think, still, that is all we have time for. That was a good episode, because I feel like you and I are in a good place. If we talked about this 2 years ago, it would have been a shit show.
Oh, yeah.
But we've come a long way. Make sure you guys are following us on socials on that lovely note. We can get you the conversation there. We also have an email address, and everything will be in the show notes if you want to talk to us about your jealousy journey. If you want any tips or advice, we're not professionals, but we're here to listen.
Yeah, even if you just need someone to talk to because you're going through something at the moment, you need to feel heard. We're here for you. Otherwise, remember to rate, review, subscribe wherever you're listening to this right now. Send this episode to friends of yours, family members, your partner, whoever you feel would benefit from this. If you want to start a conversation, we're happy to be that conversation starter for you. Otherwise, we're excited to take you along another time as we explore other areas of life that might not always have a one-size-fits-all approach on It's a Definite Maybe. We'll see you next time.
Bye.